Hold on to your butts.
Let's get ready to
ramble.
Hey, welcome to the first episode of the Rambling Geek podcast, where we discuss pop culture, old and new, and, well, whatever else we want to, I guess. I'm Mike, and with me is Brian.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, my friend. I'm good.
Good.
Excited for the first episode.
We don't know where it's going to go, because as per our tagline, it's unstructured and unscripted. Hopefully a little bit informed, but...
we make no promises.
That's right. Hey, so I was just going to say to you, before we jumped on the line here, Quantum of Solace was playing on TV.
Yeah.
Have you seen all of the Craig Bonds?
No, not all of them. I've seen up to Skyfall.
Oh, you didn't see Spectre?
No, I haven't seen Spectre yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I liked all the ones that I've seen so far. I think I actually, to be honest, I started with Quantum of Solace and then went back to Casino Royale, which obviously is a weird way to do it, because one references the other. But yeah, I did spot that was on TV tonight.
Yeah. Have you, did you like Quantum of Solace from memory?
Yeah. I did, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I did see Casino Royale when it came out and then worked in chronological order. And I was quite disappointed, but I haven't seen it since. So maybe I need to rewatch it. Maybe it's not as bad as I remember.
Maybe I liked it more because I'd seen it first. Maybe it would have suffered by comparison with Casino Royale. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Too late, really. Can't change the past.
So you're a fan of Daniel Craig as Bond in general?
Hell yeah.
Yes. Good.
Yeah.
Hopefully we didn't.
I could be one of those guys who goes, oh, he's so much closer to the books. And he is in terms of, you know, the books are not Roger Moore. Books are not Pierce Brosnan type thing. So he's a little bit more, you know, hard-nosed and rough. Not always a nice guy kind of thing. And if you read the books, there, he's much closer to that. I think it makes for a pretty cool character.
Yeah, he's not so much the debonair spy that maybe Connery was.
Yeah.
It's interesting because these Daniel Craig movies are what got me into Bond. I did watch the Pierce Brosnan ones, though, but these are the ones that really made me a fan and actually got me to read the books.
Nice, yeah.
And, yeah, you're right. It's a closer depiction based on what I have seen pre-Craig to what's in the books. And especially Casino Royale, that's quite a close adaptation, I thought.
I've not read Casino Royale. I've read some of the books, but not all of them. But that's one I'd never got to.
I was trying to read them in order for a while. Yeah. I think I've read the first four or five. But, yeah, they're quite good. Ah, good. Well, we can do a whole spiel on Bond on another episode, I guess.
Be a great idea.
Yeah. I'll have to fill up the backlog and go through the catalogue, watch some more.
Yeah. Research required, maybe, for both of us.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So, what's up? What have you been watching anything or reading anything that you want to discuss?
Nothing I could really discuss at this point here. What I am doing at the moment, though, just as an aside, I'm reading all of the Terry Pratchett Discworld books in order, which I had never done before. I read them, but in varying degrees of order. I started with about the sixth book or something, I think it was, from the library and sort of worked my way backwards and still never read them sort of from go to woe. So I'm doing that now, and I'm about 28 or so books in.
Wow, really?
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, he's a fun read, and I sort of spaced them out with other books, and so... any Pratchett fans, leave a comment. I find him, he's really funny. He's probably one of the few authors that I read, and every book makes me laugh out loud at least once. And, that's what he's about. So
for a non-initiated person like myself, is it all one big long series, or are there multiple series he's written?
It's all set on the Discworld, which is a disc, a world which is a disc, clearly, which is supported by four elephants, which stand on the back of a giant turtle swimming through space.
And I'm hooked.
And magic rules, basically. Yeah, and there's all these sort of little threads. There's the main city of Ankh-Morpork, which I probably said wrong. And there's some books are about the wizards, and some books are about the city guard, the city watch, and some are about the witches who live up in the mountains. And there's all these sort of little threads that run through them, and sometimes there'll be a book with established main characters, and some there'll be new characters, and some of the established ones just sort of drop in, and the threads kind of overlap. And yeah, it's a really amazing bit of world building, and comedy and satire, and just really, really clever writing and full of great wordplay, which I love. So, yeah, start anywhere.
Yeah, I was going to, that was my next question. Can you can you jump in, or is there certain ones you really do have to have read first? Or is it an actual series, or is it just all linked?
It is kind of a series. Yeah, if you read them chronologically, then bits of books make sense from bits of other books, kind of thing.
Right.
But I mean, if you were to like pick up, say, the first Witches book and start there, then that would be a thing that you could do. Or, you know, you could get one of the City Watch books, which I think is within the first 10. And, you know, you can pick them up from there and just go back to the other ones if you wanted to. And over time, they kind of develop a little bit more and more towards the end of the series before the last ones before he passed away. But yeah, they're all funny. They're all entertaining. And they all tell you enough that I think, for mine, I think you could just pick them up and continue. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm doing 12 books in 12 months this year. It was like a New Year's resolution of sorts, okay. I guess, because I'm a slow reader. And I probably don't read enough outside of comics. So I wanted to give some books a go. And I've done about 9. And obviously the year's progressively coming to an end. And I've got time. But I'm struggling to find a book that I want to keep going with now. And that seems stupid because I've only read 9 and there's billions of books. But, you know, I've had a few where I've just motored through them, a few where I've sort of got to the point of no return, and it's faster just to plod through so as not to have wasted time.
Yep.
And now I've only got a few more to go, and I'm halfway through 2 books, both of which are becoming a bit of a strain to get through. And so I'm sort of like, well, do I cut my losses and just start again? And this sounds like something I could possibly do that with.
Yeah, I think you could. You could pick up. I started with one called Reaper Man, which is death-centered because death is a key character in the Discworld universe. Yeah, and I dropped in there not knowing really that it was kind of the 10th or so book in the series, and it all made sense to me. Or you could go, say, Weird Sisters, which is the first one with all of the witches together. Yeah, they're all fun. They're all a good read.
Okay, so what would your top recommendation be if I was to pick one up tonight?
Yeah, I'd go with Weird Sisters.
Okay.
It's W-Y-R-D.
Okay.
Not like weird in the normal spelling. And if you can find a copy of that, then I would fully recommend it.
Okay. So that'll be what I do then. And then I'll, on a future episode, because again, I'm a slow reader, I will tell you what I thought.
Awesome.
Yeah, cool.
Look forward to hearing what you thought of it.
Yeah. There you go. That's cool. That's a good idea. All right. And in the future, we'll try and get our friend, Mr. Hope, to come on, and he's a Pratchett fan.
Ah, great.
So I might even have to just step back and let you two just go for gold.
Ramble away.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I did want to bring something up off topic. Did you hear that HBO Max is going to do a Green Lantern TV series?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Did you have thoughts? Like worrying thoughts?
I don't know. I think you're probably the same as me in that you immediately go back to the movie.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what? That movie, as you know, Green Lantern was easily my favorite superhero around that time.
Yes.
Before the movie came out, I mean. I was a big fan. Easy answer, who's your favorite superhero?
Yeah.
Then that movie came out. And look, I'm one who can generally... I say generally because I'm sure there's at least 2 examples you can rattle off straight off your head. I can separate the comics or anything in the past from what has just been shown, right? I'm not one of those people who goes, you stole my childhood, you ruined my childhood, blah, 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 whatever. Well, I feel I'm not. People will probably
correct me. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've always got that old stuff you can go back to, right?
It's completely.
It's still there.
Decades worth it. You can go back to if you want to.
Mm-hmm. But Green Lantern... Oh, man, it just ruined it for me. It really, really was so terrible that I just couldn't deal with it anymore. I dropped the character from the top spot.
Which is a pretty extreme reaction, but I get where you're coming from. I understand what you mean. It's sort of this, because sort of on paper, some of what they had chosen to do or characters they'd picked up and so forth, you look at it and go, well, yeah, there's some really key stuff in there and you could really make something cool out of that.
Yep.
You got Sinestro, you get Hector Hammond from even,
Did you need both?
So Silver Age major geek that I am, you go Hector Hammond. I'm in.
Yeah. Hard to pull off, though, in a modern movie without looking...
Difficult to pull off, yeah. And so many... There's so many things that elements that you can pull from, and maybe it was a case of too much.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was just a case of having some pretty cool characters, not really having a great idea about what to do with them. I mean, if you look at, say, remember the animated series that came out around about the same time, I think, and if you're looking at that going, this is the kind of thing you can do.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, admittedly, you know, maybe your budgets are different or you've got different stories that you can tell or whatever, but you're going, there's a lot of stuff you can do in here. And maybe... to circle back, I suppose, because we are rambling, to the new TV series, maybe a TV series is a better idea because it gives you the chance to expand. You don't have to try and tell everything and squeeze it into 2 hours and have it all make sense. And Hal going from reluctant and a bit of a dick, let's be honest, to
still a bit of a dick.
One of the greatest Green Lanterns, but still a bit of a dick. Yeah, it's maybe a TV series is a better way to go.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking about the movie version still, where he just...
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, yeah, he is still pretty much a dick, yeah.
Yeah. But you're right, though. The animated series was brilliant.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, yeah. It was terrific. I thought it was really well put together.
Really sad that only had one season.
Whether that was a budget thing or whatever, or just ratings, because,
I heard it was a budget thing. Yeah, but then they came out with Beware the Batman, and that also only got one season, which was also really good.
Yeah, kind of same style of animation too, and that was really terrific.
Yeah, both of those shows. Man, I really recommend if you can get your hands on the Green Lantern animated series. Very cool. It's such a cool watch. But that movie, they put Hector Hammond, Sinestro, and they put Parallax of sorts.
Why go that big at the beginning? It's like, because you and I have had this conversation before around things like, say, Darkseid.
Yes.
And things like that. It's like, because after that, there's nowhere to go.
Correct. Because the whole point of Parallax is to have this character arc for Hal Jordan, right? Like, you have him, you build him up to be the greatest of the Green Lanterns.
Sure.
And then you deconstruct him. You turn him a villain. And although when that happened, Parallax wasn't what it is now, right?
No, so, it morphed into what it's become, which is a great idea. You know, in the old days, it was just where you read the comic and the ring doesn't work on yellow because everybody in the Silver Age had something that their power didn't work on. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they chose yellow. Still don't know why. And then, you know, decades later, someone finds something to make something out of it. And
Jeff Johns. Cool.
He did. Yeah, I'll give him that one. That was, the various core are a great idea.
Yeah, see, he used to have good ideas. He used to do good things. He's become a bit controversial now, but...
He has, but...
You know, back then, that's why he became what he became, I guess. Like, his work on Green Lantern, the comics, was awesome.
Very influential on a whole lot of stuff, and just setting all of that up and spinning that out. And that was a great example of being able to spin it out in a long form. Because it was years worth and, you know, countless issues worth of just developing all of those. And then you got things like Blackest Night and all of that that came out of it. And that was just, it's a really cool way to spin out a concept. And I think you're right in that the movie... too much in many villains and just too rushed, and then there's the costume, which we probably shouldn't even get into.
Deadpool did that for us.
And please don't make the super suit green or animated.
The TV series, though, looks like it's not going to be Hal Jordan. It sounds like it's going to be Green Lantern Corps. They have mentioned Guy Gardner as being in it, which might be good because we haven't really seen him.
No. Yeah, it depends on how extreme they go, I guess.
Yeah, are you a fan of that character?
Various versions of it, yeah. Mm. Yeah, and that's gone through a lot of incarnations, if you like, a lot of versions of, you know, Justice League International and even before that when he was first introduced, and then, what was he, Warrior, I think, was the character he became at one point. Yeah. And it, there's all sorts of just weird stuff to have done, and then a little bit more kind of normal. Depends on how you pitch it, really.
Yeah, well, they mentioned Guy Gardner, Jessica Cruz, Simon Baz, and Alan Scott. But obviously, the rebirth Alan Scott, not the original Green Lantern.
Yeah,
and which, when you talk about stupid things for your ring to be powerless against, wasn't his wood?
Wood. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Cool, so any villain can just get a baseball bat and...
pretty much, yeah.
Take him out.
And hit you with a plank. Follow him to this lumberyard.
What I thought was really strange about that is okay, one, there's no Hal Jordan, but all right, maybe you want to distance yourself because people still remember that movie. But John Stewart, wouldn't that be the choice? Well,
I think maybe you've got the Simon Baz character, because the time that he was introduced was the point at which I was pretty much stepping out of comics at that point, you know, new comics. And so I see where they were going with that, and Jessica Cruz is new. I think John Stewart, they did him in the Justice League cartoon.
Correct.
Purely because it wasn't Hal Jordan, I think, and Hal was, I think, maybe a little mired in the 60s, you know, a little bit more clean cut. That's probably the wrong word for it. But, you know, John Stewart's a Marine. Even in the comics, he's not always the most likable of guys. Mm-hmm. It's probably a more interesting character to run with in that kind of thing, because you've got Superman who's always the good guy anyway, you know?
Do you think, like, not to be that guy, but do you think they picked John Stewart for diversity?
Possibly.
In the team, because
quite possibly so, yeah.
Isn't the whole rest of the team white? I know that Hawkgirl's Thanagarian or whatever, but...
Mm, yeah. Yeah, it's all very, very DC Comics.
Yeah.
Very old school DC Comics lineup otherwise, yeah.
Mm.
And a Martian.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's entirely possible that was the case. And I mean, you appeal to a broader base of people, and I think they got some... It all worked because... They all got great stories, all of the characters that they chose.
Yeah, and I'm not bagging that decision because he's a great character in that show.
Terrific character. Yeah, I was never a fan, not a huge fan within the comics. You know, I was always more of a Hal Jordan kind of guy. But I think on the cartoon, John Stewart's terrific.
Oh, very good. And his whole relationship with Hawkgirl is really well done as well. And there's some really good Green Lantern episodes in that.
There are, some very cool sort of character arcs around all of that. And I think even that led to him being more of a front and center character in the comics, you know, when there were sort of four Green Lanterns on Earth, and that worked out really well because they were all so different, you know.
Can you explain then that, and maybe this must have come around in the sort of era that you still like of comics, but why are there multiple Green Lanterns in the same sector? Does it actually explain it?
No, not that I'm aware of, no. I think there's a sector of time in there where I think possibly in the 90s where I wasn't reading quite regularly. I mean, the first time around it was only one, and I think even now or more recently there have been two per sector, I think.
Okay.
I think that's how that's worked out. 7,200 Green Lanterns, 3,600 sectors, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And like originally when John Stewart came in, Hal was the Green Lantern for, you know, sector 2814. Yes, we know our stuff.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
And then for some reason that escapes me, Hal wasn't available, or he wasn't able to fulfill the duties or whatever it might be. Makes it sound like Miss Universe. And so then the ring chooses John Stewart.
Right.
Because there has to be someone else. And so it was only ever one.
Was he the replacement during Parallax, or was there just no Green Lantern during the Parallax? Because I've read it, but a long time ago.
Yeah, likewise. I don't remember. Mm. I'm not sure whether they'd gone with Kyle Rayner at that point, or whether there was more than one even at that stage. I had to drop that name in there just for you.
Even though I think you're right, he was the replacement, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think it might have been, yeah. I think even when Guy Gardner came in, if I remember correctly, I think there was a good old retcon-type story where Gardner is introduced, and I think one of the Guardians explains to Hal that Abin Sur's ring chose, but there were two candidates and Hal Jordan was closer.
Oh, what?
Yeah, you know, 60s, 70s comics. And it's that kind of thing. You know, there was a point in time where Guy was all, well, Guy Gardner was all about, well, this is my ring. I should have had it, not you.
Oh,
and they spun
man.
A lot of stories out of that kind of thing. And then I think at various points, obviously, it's just gone along that for some reason, Earth Sector has four and that's allowed. So...
Oh man, we are quite the magnet for metahuman bad guys, though. Yeah, to be fair, so
pretty much. Mm. Wow, they even tried to do a thing around that, I think, at various times about like the Invasion miniseries. If you've ever had a chance to read that, I wouldn't recommend it, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm.
Earth gets invaded by people like the Dominators and Thanagarians and people like that, because the humans have the metagene, which creates superheroes.
Right.
Yeah, and there's sort of at one point a metagene bomb, and it creates a whole bunch of new superheroes because it activates the genes and things. And it was just another nice little crossover opportunity, and a good reason to have Earth invaded by five or six different races of aliens.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting because I was quite excited by the announcement that there was going to be this live-action Green Lantern TV series. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, which is not at all tied to the Snyderverse DC movies.
Yeah.
But the one thing that sort of took it down a peg for me was when they announced that it's going to be run by Mark Guggenheim, who was the guy who wrote the bloody Ryan Reynolds movie. So that didn't give me a whole lot of confidence. And run by Greg Berlanti.
Right.
Who has redeemed himself.
Yes, Arrowverse.
Arrowverse.
Mm.
Which Mark Guggenheim was on Arrow. Mm. I don't think he was on the rest of them, though. I think Berlanti spun all those other ones out.
Yeah, I think pretty much.
Mm. So, I know, now I'm sort of like, I don't know, I'm still hopeful.
We're always hopeful. Good.
Yeah.
We're always hopeful.
Yeah. I mean, it can't be worse than the movie, right?
Yeah. Then you go and say stuff like that and all you're doing is
jinxing fate, it.
Aren't you? Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, look, who knows? Be worth a shot. Look, if with any luck, it won't be Swamp Thing where you get one episode and then they cancel it.
Yeah. Well, thankfully they did give us the whole season, but they didn't really give it much of a chance considering they gave Doom Patrol. A chance, and that's way more out there than Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Swamp Thing is essentially a horror, which is still relatable, whereas Doom Patrol is not very relatable to a normal person, but it is a very cool show.
Maybe Doom Patrol's got more stuff that you can mine. I mean, that's been a bonkers comic over the years for a long time, way back when Swamp Thing. You know, I'm just going to put it right out there. If you just really want a good Swamp Thing, go back and read the Alan Moore issues. Well, Len Wein, Bernie Wrightson, Alan Moore, you're welcome. Just do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I have to give this, to make Green Lantern work, it's going to have a budget.
Yes. A
pretty decent budget.
Yeah, you can't fudge that kind of thing. It'll look really terrible if they cheap out on it.
Yeah, which is why the animated show was a good idea. Because not that they were cheaping out, but, you know, they can make it look however they want it to look, and it'll fit because it's in the animation style, right? So
your scope's bigger.
Yeah, interesting.
I've got a question for you then, because we're talking about such things.
Okay.
Three attempts now at a Fantastic Four movie, right? And varying degrees of success. The last one,
that was not a very good success.
No. What the word is for that. No.
Failure.
Completely. Yeah.
Hot mess. dumpster fire. Green Lantern.
Wow. And we know what you think of that.
Mm.
And, you know, even looking at the trailer for that, I remember seeing it and going, I think I know the story they're taking this from, one of the Ultimate Fantastic Four stories. I thought this could be really good. And then, of course, it wasn't.
Oh, so you did watch it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not that I made it, but I'm still sorry for you.
Well, I don't blame you. Yeah, it is time I could have probably done something better with. But I even after that, I was thinking that even Fantastic Four is probably something which would be better off on a TV series.
100%.
With a budget. And then you can spin it out and there's so many concepts and so many characters that you could just run in there and not have to have three villains in one go or whatever and properly develop it.
100%. What's your actual question to me? Do I agree with your comment?
I was going to say, do you agree with that? Yeah, do you think that would be the way to go for something like that? Or should they do that with more franchises, maybe?
Fantastic Four, definitely, because it has the potential to be big, but can stay small because it focuses on the family, right? So you've still got a central thing that the episodes can lock in on. The only thing I wouldn't want to see in a Fantastic Four series, and it might be in my mind because of how they did Daredevil. So first of all, I love the Daredevil TV show, the Netflix one. And and I don't have any faults with it, right? But with Fantastic Four, my worry would be that they drag out the reveal of the superhero personas for the whole first season.
Yeah.
You know, so three episodes of just getting into space and then crash landing and then stuff happening slowly.
Storytelling.
I don't mind that in some cases. Like, it worked for Daredevil, and I said no faults, but, I mean, I could have had him in the suit a little bit earlier, just because that's what you want to see, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic Four, you really need to do that, and you need to be slow and do the right villains, and don't do Galactus immediately. He should be, like, a season 3 bad guy that you build up to in the background.
Yeah. Build up to it, yeah.
You can, like Thanos in the MCU.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can have the heralds turning up, or just various hints of the heralds and stuff like that, right?
Yes, you end season two with a herald turning up or something. You don't even do it in the first two seasons.
And without even sort of explaining what that is, you know, who the herald is or whatever it might be. You know, there's all sorts of stuff you could do with that. I agree. I mean, you'd go, say, maybe two episodes, almost do it like an old school pilot like we used to do in the old days, you know, 70s, 80s.
Even the 90s.
In the 90s, yeah. Like, first couple of episodes, effectively, is that's your pilot, that's your setup, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The end of that, they're in the costumes, they're the Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Go.
You can still be the year one Fantastic Four. You know, we're not experienced. We don't know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. We fight a lot. We do this, we do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to have the family drama in it. But, you know, still at least make them the heroes fast. You can still play around with it, but just have them in the costumes. Have him as a rock monster. Have her even just glitching on her powers, her invisible powers, and you know, whatever you want to do.
You can even do what they did in the comics, and that was more of an artistic thing, I think, just over time. But you know, the original thing, he was just lumpy,
right? Yes,
you know, and then he kind of developed into that sort of brick kind of look, mm-hmm. And that was, you know, artists, they develop things over time. But even in a TV series, it would be ideal for that.
Yeah,
you know, he continues to mutate, and you can do that in a long form. You've got seasons to do that in.
The only risk you run is that photos come out inevitably and people judge immediately.
Yeah.
And unless you are quite clear and upfront that that's what you're doing, you're going to get...
You're going to get some grief. Yeah.
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 Yeah. But it's a good idea. Like, if you did it something that's, you know, like a binge TV series where you do drop the whole season, which is, I guess, getting less common again now, but then you're already... You know, you don't have to try and get someone back the next week because it's all there and somebody will be more likely just to watch through anyway. Yeah, but I don't know, like, do you start with Mole Man if you do a Fantastic Four? Because that's how the comics start, right?
Well, yeah, as the first villain, yeah, I guess you could. You might want to update him a little bit, and there's been some pretty cool updated versions of, but I still think the concept is worth running it. A lot of people will just look at it and go, oh, you stole that from The Incredibles.
The Underminer, best joke. Oh, my gosh. I loved that so much at the end of the first movie.
I know.
My gosh. So, so good. Okay. Yeah. And then I guess you have to start low level because they're a new team. They've just got their powers. So you have a lower – I mean, he's not even a low level. He's got a whole army – to control.
Yeah, well, I mean, people underground, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's lots of places you can go. You introduce Doom, you do Doctor Doom properly.
Yes.
You know, there's all that backstory with Reed and all of that, and that was there early on. You know, there's just so many places you can go.
Would you have Doom as the ruler of Latveria?
Oh, completely.
You would?
If it was me.
Yeah.
If I had all the money and I said, yes, go and do that, then I would go old school.
Yeah.
At least on the setups of the characters.
And would you... Because he was all science-based until when Wade and Waringo took over the comic, and they started introducing the magic side of stuff.
Yeah, I would go science because then it's Reed versus Dr. Doom, and that was always a thing. It was always a great tension.
Yep.
In the comics was all of that and that history between them. Yeah, I would completely go down that road.
Would you ever have him unmasked, or is he disfigured already?
No. I think he turns up, he's in the mask for whatever reason. He may not have the hood and the cape, you know, but I think you go a little bit Mandalorian on it, if I understand that correctly, or at least up to a point where, you know, no unmasking.
Yep.
I think you would, yeah.
You know what would have been a better reference to that for you would be Dredd.
It's Dredd, yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't take the helmet off.
You don't take the helmet off, yeah. Mm. If you can go with that, then that kind of adds to it, I think. I would, yeah. I mean, I become quickly apparent on this that I'm – big fan of old comics.
Yes.
You know, Silver Age, Bronze Age, that's my thing. Yeah, I just still love all the storytelling out of that, and it's just because it's old doesn't make it wrong. You know, I think there's still a lot of stuff that can be mined from that, and there's nothing wrong with doing it the same way.
Well, you don't have what you've got now without that stuff.
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, I could make a case if we wanted to ramble on, you could make a case for doing the X-Men this way, and you could start with the original team X-Men. You know, and you could, again, longer form. I know people love the movies. I love the movies, the new ones.
Some of them.
Yeah. you know, I'm even forgiving of Apocalypse. You know, but you could start with the smaller team and then it expands. It becomes new X-Men and you go in with, you bring Storm in and Banshee and all of that, you know. But you start off with that core group who are learning. They're just kids. And that was always the great hook of it, was kids learning to figure it out.
Yeah, I think...
with Professor X.
I think the hard thing with X-Men now that the MCU has to deal with is, had they not done First Class in all of those movies, I would have said, do a period piece, set it in the 60s, and do X-Men First Class. Don't do all this bollocksy time stream interdimensional stuff, because there is no X-Men in the MCU, so you're easy there. Then you can work up to the present day. You can even just jump straight in the sequel to the present day, whatever you want to do. As far as the TV series, I think X-Men's too big. Unless you did a First Class TV series and set it maybe in the 60s, I don't know.
Yeah, there's probably quite a few ways you could go. I mean, and one of the reasons that I mean that I would be keen on a TV series is purely because if you go all the way back through the history of it, there are so many characters, so many things that you can do. You know, with the Hellfire Club and you've got the Morlocks, and there's so many stories that you can spin out, characters that you can introduce, and you know there's Rachel Summers from the future, and all of that kind of thing. There's just lots of places you can go if you wanted to go long form.
Yeah, and that's the stuff that you'd have to. That's the only way you could introduce things like Cable and all of that sort of stuff, all the time crossing.
Yeah, or whatever. Nathan Summers and all that, because I don't think. It's not the kind of thing you can drop into the middle of a movie and go, oh, here's this guy, by the way.
No, because obviously we've had Cable.
Because you really have to build it, right?
Yeah, and we've had Cable in Deadpool 2. Mm-hmm. They didn't really go into all of that, who he actually is, from memory. It's been a while since I saw Deadpool 2. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure they didn't go along the lines of, geez, this is, I'm going to have to hand in my geek card because I'm probably going to be wrong, but isn't he Cyclops' son or something?
Cyclops is Nathan, yeah. He's Cyclops' son, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think they went into any of that stuff from memory. They just made him a wholly sort of new character.
And if you want to drop characters in and you know, there's the look of it and people are happy that the character's in, like Gambit and Wolverine Origins, sorry to bring that one up, you know, and that's fine. But I think there's a lot of backstory that you can mine out of that, and a lot of, you know, X-Men got really top heavy, a lot of continuity over the years, but there's some very cool stuff in there.
Yeah, there is. Like, are you a fan of all of those X-Men movies?
To varying degrees, yeah.
Yeah.
From First Class onwards, I mean, when the Singer ones came out early on, it was cool because it was an X-Men movie, and they just sort of got, by the time you got to Last Stand, it's like, yeah, this just isn't a good idea anymore.
Yeah, that was really funny because the first X-Men was on TV the other night, and we just happened to be flicking through the channels.
Sure.
And I had just started too. It was in the scene where Rogue is in the bar and Logan walks in, and you know, you've never seen him pop his claws at this point. And I was saying to my wife, oh, look, it's the X-Men movie. Not the greatest one or anything, but she was like, everyone loved this movie. I was like, look, when this movie came out, everyone loved this movie because we didn't have anything like this.
Yes.
And this first scene that's about to come up now, where he pops his claws for the first time, everyone lost their collective minds.
Completely.
Yeah.
Including me.
Yeah, and me.
And on heart.
Yep. But it is not a good movie when you compare it to, say, X-Men 2, which is, in my opinion anyway, a lot better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like you say, it takes a little dip. I don't mind X-Men 3, The Last Stand.
Yeah, you have all sorts of problems with that, but anyway.
Well, the thing I like about it is they killed off Cyclops, because I was just sick of that character already. But they
now, is that a Cyclops thing or a James Marsden thing?
Well, see, come on. That's a funny thing, right? Because I'd watched, obviously, James Marsden in other movies, Disturbing Behavior and things, and I liked the dude fine, but that movie sort of ruined him for me until Hairspray came out. And completely brought him back for me.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he's so good in that movie.
He's very cool in that. I'll give you that.
So good. So they did screw the pooch on the Dark Phoenix story.
Yes.
Very much. Especially when you end X-Men 2 with the Phoenix flying. I assume it's under the water, or is it a reflection over the
water? It's under the water in the lake.
Yeah.
And it was such the perfect setup. I'm absolutely buzzing coming out of that movie.
Right. We had an awesome movie, and then they gave that as the stinger, and you're like, oh man, you can't do any wrong at the moment. And whoops, yes, you can.
In. Yeah.
Thanks, Brett Ratner.
Maybe that's another case of going too big. Too big too early.
Yeah, you have to build that story. You have to make people care about Jean Grey, first of all.
You do. You do.
Those movies were all about Wolverine, if we're being honest. Even from the very first one.
Yep.
So if you don't care about Jean Grey, you're not going to care about the Phoenix. And that is a story that would work better long form. And look, it did on the animated series.
Yeah. And you go cosmic with it because you have to. I mean, if you're going to mine completely from Claremont and Byrne, you know, you've got the Shi'ar, you've got all of that. She destroys a planet.
Yep.
All of those things. And that's why you get all that tension at the end of, you know, X-Men 137. All of these kinds of things, right? And it's grounded on Earth. It's like, yeah, she's out of control. And then Magneto's going to do something weird with the Golden Gate Bridge. And then we're done.
Yeah, and then Wolverine's going to kill her, by the way.
Yeah, because,
although that was a cool scene. Not the context in the story, but
it was well visuals. Done. I'll give you that, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, actually, that brings me to a question. Have you actually watched Dark Phoenix, the last movie? Oh, you have? I haven't.
I have, yeah.
Is it as bad as everyone says?
Yes.
That's a yes.
It's the... I don't know what your thoughts were on Apocalypse.
I liked it.
I liked Apocalypse. Yeah. It's the worst of them.
Of
the first class of that run.
Okay.
Of the new ones, if you like, the McAvoys.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. It's entertaining.
That's funny you call it the McAvoys, but we don't call the other ones the Stuarts.
McAvoy or Stuart? These timelines are so confusing.
Can you say like the Jackmans? Because it's all the same thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
And it ties things up in a bow right at the point where I think I mentioned this to you after I'd seen it, where you can go, okay, well, that bit's done now, and you could start again if you wanted. I think at the end of having done that, I think it's worth a watch. I quite enjoyed it.
You're probably the first person I've heard say it's worth a watch. But yeah, you know,
I'm
what?
Get all sorts of like completely outraged comments on this, but you know, it was what it was, and it wasn't Last Stand. And it wasn't Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Okay, can I just stop you there?
Because
although that is not a good movie, The Rise of the Silver Surfer is on point.
Doug Jones. Yes.
Man, even the visuals. I haven't watched it for years, but man, that was on point. That was so good.
If you're going to do a silver guy on a surfboard, that's as well as you can do it. I'm with you there, completely. Yep.
Yep. And that's how I would end season two of the Fantastic Four TV series. He turns up.
Yeah.
And then you have to regret that you didn't have him already when you did Infinity War, or was it Endgame? It was Infinity War, right? Where Hulk comes smashing down through Sanctum Sanctorum?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where you wanted Silver Surfer, obviously, because that's right out of the comics, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's how it ends season two of the TV show.
There you go. We need to pitch this, clearly, you and I.
Oh, yeah, because, everyone else is like, no, we heard what you said about those other things. So, yeah, no. Oh, man. All right. So, hey, that was a good ramble. We went from Green Lantern all over the show. We ended up in Marvel.
We did. There you go.
So that
Welcome to our brains. This is how they work.
Yeah, man. That's why
how they operate. Put it that
way. We're geeks. I mean, you cited the issue number, and we're rambling. So I think we've got an apt title. So.
No false advertising here.
No, man. It is. What is it? What's the phrase? It's it does what it
says on the tin.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one. We got there. See?
We did.
All right. So I was also going to talk to you about something else, because I think we can move off that topic now, or those topics. Willow. Are you a fan of Willow?
I haven't seen that movie in a really long time, but I saw it when it first came out, and I really enjoyed it.
Okay. I probably didn't get my geek card back yet from that other thing, but I'll just keep it handed over. I haven't seen Willow.
It's silence.
I know. It's one of those 80s movies that when people on Facebook say, name an 80s movie that everyone's seen and you haven't, it's one of those ones you can put down and get shocked-faced reactions.
Yeah. It's kind of a Krull, I think.
I haven't seen that either.
You've not seen Krull?
No.
We have some movies we need to watch, my friend.
We do. And we've got a whole other podcast we do that on, by the way, which I'll plug at the end.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an under-the-radar movie. I don't know a great many people who've seen Willow, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I feel like people talk about it, but when you talk to people in real life, that, you know, not online,
It's maybe one of the reasons I went to see it when it first came out. One, it was a fantasy movie, big into that at the time. One of the other reasons was the fact that it was filmed here in New Zealand.
Oh yeah, we should probably mention that our accents might sound funny because we are actually in New Zealand. We're not American and we're not Australian.
Thank you.
So when we say it was filmed down here, see, to add to our geek cred, we're coming right from Middle Earth, because this is, you know, where Lord of the Rings was shot as well.
We are.
So, sorry.
We're in the heart of it. And this was all pre-Weta days.
This was.
I believe. I mean, this is like 1988, 89, something like that.
Willow?
I think Willow, yes.
Willow, I think, no, it was 1980... I wrote on our website 1998, and that is wrong. No, so I need to go and correct that. That might have been 1988 then.
88, 89, one or the other, I think, yeah. Mm. Yeah. And Val Kilmer?
Yes.
Isn't it? You know, Top Gun, all of that.
Oh, Top Gun. Don't go down that track. That's like a long ramble. Don't go down that track.
Yep. Yeah, when we get to that one, you'll start, and I'm just going to sit back.
Yeah, we'll do that one on our movie podcast.
Good call. Yeah. Surprised we haven't already. Yeah. I think it's on Disney Plus, Willow, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to have to dig that out again and have a look. I think it's somewhere, it's streaming somewhere.
Well, it is a Lucasfilm movie, so it probably is on Disney Plus.
Okay, good odds then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the reason you asked me?
Oh, the reason I asked you, yes. Huh. See, we rambled off and I forgot what my point was. Yeah, they are Disney Plus, in fact, so yeah, the movie must be on there, are going to make a TV series.
That's a long time between drinks.
It is a long time between drinks, but I think that's becoming more and more common these days as well.
Yeah, mining old properties, I guess, and that's okay, depending on how you do it.
Well, it is obviously going to be I guess technically it's a sequel. It is following on from the events, but obviously decades later. I was going to
ask you, have you heard the pitch? Have you heard the synopsis?
Yeah, not exactly. I don't think they've released a whole lot because I think it's a new thing that's just been greenlit recently, but it's supposed to be set years after the events of the first film. Warwick Davis is back.
Wow.
As well. Yeah. And Ron Howard is back as a producer of the show.
All right.
So that's good. It's got, you know, you've got your two main people there, I guess. And it's going to be written, if I'm not mistaken, the pilot anyway, by Jonathan Kasdan. Oh. Lawrence Kasdan's son.
Right, there you go.
Who people are like probably groaning now because he wrote Solo, the Star Wars movie. And I'm going to say, keep my card because I like that movie. I do. I like Solo, man.
Points back.
John Chu is going to direct the pilot and be an executive producer. He did Crazy Rich Asians as his most notable one, I guess.
All right.
He did G.I. Joe Retaliation, which was one of those rare sequels that I liked better than the original. That's probably because they put The Rock in it. And it had Bruce Willis. And he did a few Justin Bieber movies, but we'll move on from that. I mean, in terms of Long Time Between Drinks, they recently did Dark Crystal over on Netflix.
They did. But the actors don't age in that, I suppose. You get a bit more of a pass on that kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's another movie I haven't seen.
You've never seen The Dark Crystal?
No, I was a Labyrinth boy.
You're allowed to watch both.
Yeah, so I heard, but I don't know. I didn't really like puppet stuff back then when I was younger. Like, I hated Thunderbirds and all that. Granted, that's before my time, but it was still around when I was a kid. Puppet stuff. Yeah. I mean, Labyrinth's got puppets as well, but...
Henson Studios. I mean, I know. You're going to be telling me next you've never seen an episode of Farscape.
Stunned silence.
Never seen Farscape? Heard of Farscape?
Yes, I've heard of it.
Excellent. Yeah. Wow.
I think we've lost any listeners we would have had because they're like,
well,
these guys aren't. Well, I might have, yeah. Because that's like, how did he get on this? They're not geeks at all.
All it means is that we've lots more to explore.
We have lots more to explore, yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm feeling like a puppetry episode somewhere along the way here.
Yeah.
Henson Studios or otherwise. I think there's something in the future here.
Yeah, and see, when I say that, that's not quite true either, because I did like The Muppets, and obviously everyone grew up on Sesame Street, so...
Completely.
I don't know. I don't know why I didn't watch The Dark Crystal, but...
Yeah. I like it. Still one of my favourite movies.
Yeah. Did you watch the Netflix show?
I haven't, actually. I've got it on my list. I've got a great many things on my Netflix list. Lots of wish lists of lots of services.
I think we all do.
Not quite got to it yet, but always intending to do so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everyone's like that. Everyone's to watch list is bigger than the amount of time anyone ever actually has in their life.
Oh, completely. So, yes. Yeah. I mean, if we could all sit at home and just binge watch TV series all day or whatever, great. But no, not with bills to pay.
No. So do you think you like Willow enough that you would give the TV show a go? Is it one of those things that's like, no, I've got too much other stuff on my list?
I'd probably be inclined to check out the first one and see what they make of it, just to see how it looks and see what sort of flavour it takes. And I tend to decide pretty quickly on these things. Give me an episode or two and I'm either in or I'm out. So
I might be the prime target audience, because now that's going to make me watch the movie before the TV series comes out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I can try and watch the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Disney knows what they're doing.
They do.
They do.
That's some clever marketing.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the perks. It's called synergy.
It'd be interesting to see have you heard any sort of general buzz as to the reaction to it?
No, I don't think anyone came out completely negatively, but I didn't go down any rabbit holes or in comment sections. I try to limit that. Got enough stress in my life. I don't need to add to it.
You don't have to look too far for a pitchfork and a burning torch, I guess, most of the time, do you?
No.
Online. Yeah, but it's possibly a smart choice, actually, because it's been such a long time between, and you can say, well, maybe people wouldn't be quite so married to it. It was never like a massive fan base or anything. You know?
True.
Not a huge cult thing.
Mm.
And again, probably not a bad one to do. If to go back to my Krull reference, if you were going to say, we're going to do a TV series of Krull, people would go, huh?
Yeah.
Or, oh, that was a movie, you know?
Yeah, I think Willow's probably got a bit more name value than that, though. Like, people know it's a thing if you say it.
Yeah, people might be reasonably likely to have heard of it. I suppose that's one thing. Yeah. And long enough that you can have a go at it on TV and see what comes of it.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yep.
It won't be Game of Thrones, I figure that much, unless they're going to radically change it.
I was just thinking, Amazon's doing that Lord of the Rings TV show. That was supposed to be like the most expensive TV show ever made, which obviously is delayed by our good friend Corona. So we'll see when that comes out. But that, I don't know, that might have a chance of being the next Game of Thrones. Not that you have to be the next of anything, but for comparison's sake, I guess.
I guess so. Close enough that people might pick up on it, and not so close that people will think it's a clone.
Well, I mean, it's Lord of the Rings. That was first anyway, right?
So. Well, yeah, exactly. You know, I guess you was looking for, you know, you get Westworld, you get, was it humans? Sometimes things spin into the same orbit and maybe pick up a similar audience. Maybe that's the case. I don't know how these marketing things work.
That's
just a guy who watches TV.
Yeah, and that's funny too, because I was watching both of those simultaneously, because it was humans already had, I think, a season, maybe two, before Westworld came along. And so in between episodes of Westworld each week, I'd watch Humans because I was on a bit of an AI buzz at that point.
Right, yeah.
And, man, I really like Humans.
Okay.
I dipped out of Westworld after season one. I was like, that hurts my brain too much. So I'll just watch Humans, and Humans is a little bit easier. But, man, it's a great show. Have you seen Humans?
I haven't actually, no.
Oh,
so this is where I get to hand in some of my geek cred card. I really enjoyed Westworld season one, and I tried to get into season two, and I've started it twice, and I have just stalled. I don't know why. I just lost the thread.
Because what is it now? Three? There's three?
Three now, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and Humans is one I should really have a look at. I've had lots of people recommending it, you included, so I should give that a look. Another one for the watch list.
Yeah, I might actually have Humans on Blu-ray, but you know when that was a thing? Before everything was digital? Yeah. Man, I feel old because Blu-ray's already on its way out, man. Jeepers.
I still have Blu-rays.
Oh, yeah, so do I. I've got a...
Tear them out of my cold, dead hand.
Physical media you own and you can touch.
It's all about a tactile experience.
Yeah, you don't have to...
Mold.
Don't have to keep paying per month to watch your movies. They're right there. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to ramble on about?
No, I think I'm probably a little rambled out.
Good.
I think we've done well.
Yeah, not too bad for our first episode, I think. So thanks for tuning in and listening to our first ramble. Hopefully it's enticing enough that you might come back and listen to us ramble some more. Until then, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at TRG Podcast and Twitter at The Rambling Geek. That one's different because someone already had our handle. We also have a website. I'll put the link to all the social medias in the website down below in the episode notes, so be sure to check us out. Pop along for a visit. We post entertainment news, geek news, and we'd like to build a little community. So your feedback, your comments about the podcast, about the articles, everything is much appreciated. If you've got a little bit of time up your sleeve, maybe leave a review, preferably a positive one. But, you know.
All opinions are welcome.
Exactly.
Freedom of speech on the Rambling Geek.
That's right. And yeah, and if you like it and you've got other friends who might like it, recommend it. That's how we grow. And it's a free way to support us. So until next time, live long and prosper. May the Force be with you and all that good geeky stuff. Peace out, my geeks.
In brightest day,
in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light.
Loved what you've heard on this week's episode? Well, the answer is simple. It would mean the world to us if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and feedback. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater things. Thank you.
That's the end. Thanks for listening.